Dateline, May 1976. The time has come to make or break. Could anything on par with the Pong phenomenon happen again? Alan Acorn did not invent video games with his electronic facsimile of table tennis. But the sudden popularity and proliferation of Pong in public spaces put the medium on the map. Indeed, evidence suggests that the term video game did not yet exist in 1972 when Pong and the Magnavox Odyssey debuted. Speaking of Ralph Baer's groundbreaking console, a number of adults across America who discovered Atari's ball and paddle contest in their local pub or tavern later purchased the Magnavox version for their living rooms. This places one video game at the vanguard of both the arcade and home industry. Or more accurately, two competing versions of the same game developed independently, but nonetheless forever associated with one another. Of course, as soon as Pong became a national curiosity, everyone with the capability to do so released interpretations of Baer/Alcorn's tennis simulator. This went double for companies outside of the United States, where the Odyssey and Pong would not reach the market for some time. Sega, Taito, and Nintendo all released Pong-likes as their first video games in the 1970s. One problem common to all of these releases is that, unless you're Forrest Gump, most people can only play so much ping-pong before they get tired of it. Hence why the Magnavox Odyssey and many competing variants sought to introduce additional games by altering the rule set, even though the hardware itself could do little more than generate white squares on a black background. In the Odyssey's case, the console shipped with plastic overlays of other settings to aid players' imagination. It makes sense. Once you add an ice rink and a smaller goal, there's little difference between table tennis and hockey. Yet you can only rearrange the pieces for so long before progress and capitalism demand a brand new game. At Atari, Nolan Bushnell pitched an idea that involved similar gameplay, another paddle and bouncing ball contest, only it would pit one player against rows of targets to destroy. 50 years ago this month, the world discovered the addictive properties of demolishing masonry in Breakout. Breakout distances itself from Pong right away with a completely different screen layout. Pong invited players into a void, with just its interactive elements and a scoreboard in view. Breakout rotates the action vertically. 8 rows of 14 blocks form a barrier at the top, while the paddle resides at the bottom. You can argue that Pong's minimalism helped communicate its function to an audience who had never seen a video game before. But Breakout's tower intimidates at a glance. Pressing the serve button summons a ball into existence, sending it directly towards the paddle video sledgehammer, according to the arcade flyer. Players spin a dial to slide the hammer horizontally to smack the ball and keep it from slipping past them. The ball ricochets off every surface, whether it strikes the walls, the hammer, or a brick. Each broken block scores points, with the higher rows awarding more points than the lower ones. Breakout color codes the rows with a rainbow pattern to help players discern the block's value at a glance. Later versions used color graphics for this, but the 1976 original used pigment and transparencies laid atop a monochrome display to create the desired effect. Strategically, the best move is to focus the ball on one side of the screen and carve out a large hole rather than picking off scattered bricks one by one. This way, a well-placed shot might slip the ball between the top of the screen and the bricks for rapid-fire bonuses. This maneuver comes with a risk, however, as striking the ceiling with the ball shrinks the player's hammer dramatically, which increases the difficulty. In another groundbreaking move, Breakout actually ends. There's no story or characters here. The flyer and the cabinet art suggest the player is forcibly escaping from jail, but the game only offers 2 screens worth of blocks. Successfully clearing the second round will not spawn a third, leaving the player to bounce the ball as long as they like, but without any targets to hit. Perhaps that's what freedom means in Breakout. You get to walk away from the cabinet with the satisfaction of a job well done. In the annals of computing history, Breakout rivals Pong as far as its sphere of influence is concerned. Players took an immediate liking to Atari's new game as competitors scrambled to cash in on the fad. Many creators of these second-run block-breaking games would iterate and innovate on the formula, leading to a wave of original games that shaped the industry as we know it. After all, what is Space Invaders but a player-controlled hammer at the bottom of the screen destroying symmetrical rows of enemies, albeit with bullets instead of balls. Indeed, despite discovering video games in an era when Breakout would have still represented the peak of the medium, I'm not certain if I ever played it for myself. I know I played Warlords, a 4-player paddle game where you defend your bricks while trying to smash those of your opponent. I played Arkanoid, a science fiction block-breaking game with enemies to defeat and power-ups to discover. I certainly played Alleyway, the Game Boy launch title that featured Mario piloting the hammer and patterns of bricks that resembled characters and icons from other Nintendo games. To me, Breakout represents more than just one piece of hardware or software. It's a foundational concept that veered away from dedicated 2-player machines to present individuals with a challenge designed to test their skills. Breakout was not unique in this matter. Plenty of other games tried similar tactics. But it transfixed thousands of players, perhaps millions if we include its many clones and derivative works. I'd go so far as to invoke the meme of Calvin's dad explaining how all video games fall into just 2 categories. In this case, Pong or Breakout. Space Invaders is a breakout, which means all space shooters are breakouts. Sports games are Pong, including Karate Champ, Yi Are Kung Fu, and all fighting games. Doom is a breakout, unless you're playing Deathmatch, in which case, it's Pong. Tetris, despite all those blocks, is actually Pong. Thank you for listening to this audio version of my latest This Week in Retro column, a Retronauts exclusive for our Patreon supporters. Breakout has no music at all, so please enjoy this 1986 pop hit by Swing Out Sister. My name is Diamond Fight, and when I'm not writing or podcasting, I'm updating my website, fightclub.me. That's FEITCLUB.ME. Good night!